With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast.
How are we, Mark? You okay?
Hello, Mark. How's things?
Have you missed me?
I have missed you, mate. These international breaks, mate, don't have to make the absence, you know, it makes the heart grow fonder, absolutely.
Of me or Everton?
Oh, both. I'd say you more than Everton lately, because they've all got our gripes going, haven't they, with the way they've been playing and stuff. But,
certainly have. But we still miss them, though, don't we, when they're not playing?
We do. I think we miss the emotion of the game, and we miss talking about how pissed off we are with them, or even how made up we are with them. But it's shite, isn't it? International football, it really has ruined more weekends than Martinez, hasn't it?
it's the second one of the season. I know it's so disruptive, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Not like we were doing well, but you know, if Everton were on the back of a couple of victories, you know, against Palace and Bournemouth, then you'd be even more annoyed, because it just disrupts the flow. And obviously, there's potential injury concerns going into a massive game against Man City, so it's just a joke, isn't it? I mean,
it can work both ways. It can give the club time to sort of regroup, and they've had a good start, and we've had a dip, and then maybe Koeman sees that time that we've had now that's been excruciating for the rest of us as beneficial for the team, because they can, you know, regroup, gather their thoughts, and go again. I hate that saying, pure Gerard, but we can just start fresh.
Well, hopefully,
hopefully
it does have that effect, but there's no getting away from the fact that me, you, and you know, countless other Evertonians out there and football fans are just
pissed off.
Wondering what to do with themselves.
Yeah, when England are playing. While we're on a rant, the way I hate international football, being a John Gotti-esque gambler, right? There's literally no footy in the week to gamble on apart from the international football. So it's like, so you miss out on both teams to score coupons and all that type of stuff. I hate international football.
You can't do your fantasy football either.
You're doing Sky Sports Super 6, right? And you're trying to figure out Bristol Rovers against MK Dons or that's it. And I'm trying to sound intelligent. I'm going on the Super 6 panel. Charlie Nicholls, he hasn't got a jar of what he's saying. And he's coming 2-1, everyone's going 2-1 because he hasn't got a clue. So I went 4-0, Morecambe, and didn't work.
Well, yeah, we've had this is the second international break, and obviously I think England play tomorrow night, do they?
Tomorrow night. Apparently the big debate, Rooney starting or not. I'm so tired.
Yeah, apparently he's not playing, is he? And there's been a big press conference and all that. But this isn't an England podcast, you'll be glad to know. So we're gonna talk about Everton. And I think last time I saw you, we were jumping around when Everton beat Sunderland 3-0.
That's right, mate.
Singing the Balassi song. And it feels like a lifetime ago, that, doesn't it? Four weeks ago,
something like that. But it does feel like maybe last season.
It was a Monday night, so it probably was 4 weeks ago today, maybe. Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. It was a long time ago.
Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Great that night. We've talked about that game, I think, haven't we, after the podcast?
Oh, we were
convinced the title was already within grasp.
Yeah, well, that night. Let's be honest, we all got a bit excited after that. But yeah. it did come on the back of a run of results that had reason for us to get excited. Yeah, and we beat Borough, don't forget, and the week before. And we had that League Cup game that we won as well. I think that was around just before the Sunderland game. So, yeah, there was plenty of positivity. Unfortunately, since then, it hasn't really carried on, has it? No. What we'll do is we'll skip through the four games that have happened since.
Yeah.
We're not going to go into...
it's such a lousy podcast. So many games have gone back.
We try and do as many as we can, but it's impossible. There's that many games. I mean, the Borough game and the Norwich game were in a matter of 3 days.
No.
So if you're going to come and review every game, you may as well just stay in us.
Absolutely.
There's games to be covered, there's items to be discussed, and there's a lot of other business as well.
Yeah.
And things. I know you've always got loads to get off your chest.
Always with Everton.
So we'll starting at the beginning of the month, we'll look back for the Borough game, move on to the Norwich game, and then we've got Bournemouth and Palace since.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things off the pitch as well. A few comedy discussions.
Absolutely. Some real. Yeah.
Random stuff.
Courageous attempts to get away from the authorities.
We'll try and cover as much as we can in the next hour and portray our thoughts on what's happened since so far this season, really, overall.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to do the three-word review. I'm so excited about that. Because I don't really read that much. I haven't got an ability to take in a lot of information. So the snap.
A three-word review of the season so far. Yeah. It's been interesting, some of the findings. But looking back at that Borough game, Mark, it was... Not the best of start. We did a goal behind.
Yeah.
Again, talking about this, it feels like ages ago. But
it does.
It was Alvaro Negredo went up, didn't he, for that header with Stekelenburg.
It was
a foul, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it couldn't have been more sort of Andy Gray, 84 Cup final. That's the vision I got when I seen that go in. And it was, you know, real a bit of a joke that the goal was allowed, wasn't it? I think he headed Stekelenburg's arm into and sort of, you know, forced Roadhouse style into the net, you know, it's just ridiculous. He didn't even make contact with the ball, it was just Stekelenburg's arm that he headed.
Well, they were allowed to, the goal stood and we were a goal down. Just on the grade, we were linked with him, wasn't we?
He's also played off, like, you know, yeah.
Didn't he go to Valencia and he's on loan at Borough? Somehow he's ended up in Borough. We were linked with him, remember? 20 million move or something?
Yeah, absolutely, we were. Well, I think while he was at City, I think it was, wasn't it? But he's a player I've always liked, you know, real sort of bullying centre, real cool in front of goal. He's got that presence up front, hasn't he, you know.
Hell of a left peg as well, hasn't he?
Not half, yeah. Real star. Bite for Mills, but that he'll do well, I think, this season.
We got goals, but overall, they were no great shakes.
No, they were disappointing, to be honest, for a promoted team with the youngster they had coming up. You know, the promoted teams tend to fancy it at Goodison, don't they? Whether we're playing well or not and stuff, but yeah, they sort of muted, weren't they? There wasn't much to them. That goal side, which you know, comes up, which really, I think, didn't do them any favours.
No, it sort of sparked Everton into life, and Everton were quickly back in it with Gareth Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Soon after Seamus Coleman and Lukaku, wasn't it? It was quite comfortable in the end, wasn't it? Second half was a bit of a...
There was a bit of a panic setting, as we always do when we go a goal behind. But I think Gareth Barry's finished. If ever it finished, like, personified our player, plays the game itself. It was that, wasn't it?
You know,
cool, didn't flush the... Just measured into the top corner. Beautiful finish.
That was a 600 Premier League game, if you remember.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So... I think, did Negredo's effort go down as an own goal? So those who would have took an ambitious punt on Gareth Barry's first goal
would have been
rewarded,
I think there are smart asses out there who would have linked the 600 game with first goal scorer and made the money.
It's never us. But we did come back, and it was good to see Everton basically brush Borough aside from then on in, and probably best part of an hour. There was only really one winner in that game. As I say, I thought Middlesbrough were disappointing.
Yeah.
Everton, it took us to go a goal behind to spark us into life, but that's what we've done, and it was another 3 points. And it was, as I say, it came on the back of a run of impressive games since the middle of August. And looking at the league position and everything, we all really fancied the next run of fixtures after that, you know, the cup game, then going to Bournemouth and hosting Palace. But it just hasn't worked out that way.
No.
That tends to be football, tends to be Everton, and you know, there's a bit of negativity set in. But looking at the game that followed that, the Borough result, Mark, it was Norwich in on a Tuesday night, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, really.
Do you want to do your three-word review of that game?
Absolute shite, so it's two words, but there's one word. Oh, it was really, really gut-wrenchingly disappointing, wasn't it? I think a lot of fans feel this way as you get older and you see another cup exit. It's just, they do cut a lot deeper than before. Absolutely, you know, it's just, that represents a real opportunity for us to end this drought, which is the biggest millstone around the club's neck. And every time that we meekly go out to someone new, let's face it, it's not going to go much further in the competition.
No.
You know, it's never going to, we never lose. The clubs we beat us invariably get knocked out the next round. So it's not like we ever lose to the winners or stuff. I'll probably get proved wrong 10 times on that. But to go in another cup final that we have nothing to do with, you know, it's just gutting, isn't it? Koeman, to my surprise, didn't look that arsed after the game. I was a little bit annoyed at his sort of coolness. He looked a lot more pissed off at the first half against Sunderland than he did at the 90 minutes against Norwich, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't happy after a 3-0 win at Sunderland. But he didn't seem that... I mean, I'm probably wrong. I love Koeman, think he's great, but I don't think League Cup was his priority at all.
Maybe so, and I mean, he did change the team, but regardless of that starting 11 that went out there and the substitutes mm-hmm. that came on were good enough to beat the Championship side, who were average. With all due respect to Norwich, they're average, but they came and fair play to them, they were worthy winners on the night.
Yeah.
But I thought we fielded a side that was, it did, you know, it did feature changes, but definitely strong enough to overcome them. And again, the first goal scored, it was nailed on to be Naismith, wasn't
nailed
it?
On.
It was nailed on. And you know, credit to him, he's come back and he's put a shift in, he's got his name on the score sheet. But
there was a bit of thing about fans clapping. I think they clapped the fact. I ranted straight after it. I did rant, perfect, normal style. But I think fans clapped the fact that he didn't celebrate against us. But even so, it's, you know, clapping before, during, after. But, you know, leave it if he's just scored.
It tends to be one of them. Things that divided right. our fans, didn't
yeah,
it?
Doesn't sit right with me that we clapped at all. You got fans clapping who've never seen us lift the trophy. You know, the guy who's just scored a goal, which potentially has knocked us out of the cup. And it did knock us out of the cup, but, you know, I don't know. I think it's just old age setting in. You get less tolerant with things like that. But
it is respectful, yeah. It is respectful, and I get that.
Of course. And we are a classy club like that, so that is in our nature. But there's nice and then there's nice.
In the same breath, though, I'd say it's quite small-minded and a bit of a nicey-nicey mentality, whereas I'd rather us beating them 5-0, and if Naismith gets a consolation, maybe then I'd give him a round of applause.
Absolutely.
But not when we go a goal down, and then second half, you know, it wasn't much better, was it? And that other kid scored the wonder goal, Josh Murphy.
But it was terrific on the night.
And that was worthy to win it, yeah. And it was one of them, as you say, another chance at silverware passes us by, and definitely is our... It's like some sort of hex on that competition.
We've just never done anything in it.
I think we were sitting here 2 seasons ago saying the same after we got beat 4-0 by Swansea, didn't we?
Yeah. I'm saying the same thing in 2 seasons time as well. So the League Cup on us, very much like me and my ex-wife last 6 months. Just, I'm not getting on. I had to get one in, didn't I?
You had to. I was waiting for that.
Ex-wife always gets a mention on these shows. Someone else should get a mention, but ex-wife always does.
Well, that was probably the Norwich game has been the start, hasn't it? The tipping point, shall we say, of what's followed, and the negativity from that carried on, didn't it? Well and truly into Bournemouth. But different sort of team against Bournemouth, different sort of game. Again, disappointing display from Everton. Again,
it's just horrible, wasn't it?
Making a side who are probably, with all due respect, average look half decent, which I thought we'd done against Norwich. And
I think average is generous, to be honest, when you're describing Bournemouth. I'm not being snobby, but you know, there's not much to them, is there? They're a good side, they knock it around a lot, but they shouldn't be hurting you.
No.
In any way, shape. But not the players that we had that
you don't hear many Premier League sides, and I mean decent Premier League sides, going to Bournemouth and not winning.
No, exactly. Bournemouth will beat the clubs around them, and maybe the odd top 10 team, you know, and stuff like that. But see what Arsenal done there, that's the way you play at Bournemouth, isn't it? You know, with that ruthlessness and stuff. We just...
Well, whereas we saw that in numbers against Sunderland, a ruthless streak, we just didn't see it against Bournemouth, and we did have a few chances. I think Dillafour missed a sitter, Lukaku had chances, but
It was great save from Lukaku, your header, wasn't it? From the goal. But it was one of them for the pictures, you know, straight at him. And like it, you know.
I think Barry was carrying a knock, but you know, these aren't excuses. We should be beating Norwich in midweek, whatever side we put up, and we should be going to Bournemouth and at least getting a point to keep the momentum going, really, because we were unbeaten up until the Norwich game and obviously unbeaten in the league up until the Bournemouth game, but we go up the cup and then the unbeaten run comes crashing to an end on the south coast, and it has resulted in a lot of negativity.
That the deflation, I think, then that led to increased anxiety to beat Palace, which you know didn't happen, and now sort of everyone's levelled out on could do better. You know, it's like that, isn't it? The way I think it is with Everton right now. It's like, you know, Bournemouth, that was a perfect opportunity to bounce back and score 3 or 4 goals, feel good about ourselves again, get going again, forget everything that's happened in the League Cup for now. But, you know, it just added to fucking, it just added to save the huge disappointment that was the Norwich game, wasn't it? You know?
Definitely, and it's built a bit of negative momentum, whereas, you know, the 5 weeks probably that were, came before that, we were building positivity. We would thought, you know, we're grinding out wins.
Yeah.
Then we can turn on the style. You know, maybe people have said we haven't played that many good sides. But, you know, I thought we were more than a match for Tottenham on the opening day, and they're the only unbeaten side left in the league at the moment.
Absolutely.
Look how they're playing. So,
real quality team, you know,
I do feel like we've shot ourselves in the foot a bit with that, because you know
it's compounded by the fact that we travelled to Man City on Saturday, and they're smashing everybody.
The games get no easy though, do
you? No, they don't. But like you say, wins against Bournemouth, you know, and Palace even, that buffers what is going to be a really difficult game at City. You know, where every chance we're going to get beat by a few if we don't perform to our very best, and we rarely do.
We used to
under Moyes. It was like the minute they got into the top four, we lost interest in trying to beat them. Yeah. But we used to have. I think we won there 3 years on the spin.
Just thinking back to last year when Barkley scored that worldie, and then we went on. And that was in the League Cup we beat them at Goodison on the Wednesday, and then we got turned over, didn't we? And it was just one after the other.
Absolutely.
So.
Tangent,
yeah, as usual.
An unhappy tangent.
Rather, let's look at the Palace game in more focus, because it is the most recent game.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday night. It was being billed as a almighty party at Goodison, but I've come to my views on the atmosphere and our supporters in a minute when you've had your say on the game. But Lukaku gave us probably a deserved lead in the first half. We'd done all right, didn't we?
I've got to say, for absolute miserable ass like me, I was absolutely made up with the way we played first half. I mean, it sounds really... I thought we played great.
Even the likes of Brian Oviedo was a bit of a scapegoat. He was doing well, wasn't
quality,
he?
I thought Bolasie done great first half. I thought he looked, you know, purposeful. He wasn't being, you know, ex-players normally play shite against the former clubs, don't they, when they come up against them. But I thought he looked really... You know, on it first half, nothing second half, admittedly, but first half, I thought everything was sound. I was more than happy first half. I thought one more goal, you always need that second goal with Everton, always.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't come, we always pay for it. But first half, I was made up with it. The goal was well deserved. You know, World won't be so happy with itself with that goal, will it? But you know, the way we played, I thought it was just like what we needed. After the recent run of games, but
so it was all going well until half time.
A record against Palace around, we looked authoritative against them in that first half.
Well, we've got a poor record, haven't we?
Oh,
home and away against them.
To be honest, Palace are a really good team. Everyone's played well this season against us, but Palace really looked the business, didn't they? You know, I thought they looked a real danger every time they went forward themselves. But you know, whereas first half we were landing more punches than them. Second half we kind of wilted a little bit. You know, but first half great free kick. But also more important, see Lukaku keep his goal scoring going now. You know, I get the feeling he's not happy until them goals start coming in, and then you see a different Lukaku.
Yeah, he scored for Belgium as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's not good in a drought. I don't think he starts getting a sulk. Maybe starts, you know, shunning away to the Belgian media or whatever. But you know, when he's in a goal scoring mode that he is now, I think he looks a happy bully, doesn't he?
Well, we need him to be in the goal scoring mode, don't we? You know,
someone else.
We're looking around the team, and there's not many other people chipping in with goals in that Everton side.
No.
I mean,
And Gareth Barry is.
Gareth Barry and Coleman have scored of late.
But you can't be relying on them to get your goals.
We've only scored one goal in our last three games, and that's being Lukaku free kick. So that is a worry for me. You know, Delafoe, Morales, not really cutting it, are they? Aaron Lennon's really? Been in and out. He's not really had a run of form.
I think Aaron Lennon deserves, it sounds stupid, I know, but I think he deserves a place ahead of Morales and Delafoe, a little chance. I've been really unimpressed by Morales. He really got it off me after the, I think it was the Bournemouth game, where I didn't even know he was playing until he took a corner on the stroke of a half time.
But this way, one of them won't start against City.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. No.
Cleverley or Lennon or someone will come in there.
Aaron Lennon should be a player that I've done it great when he came on, but you know, under this new vision of Koeman, you'd think he'd be a player that would get left behind. You know, with a new dynamic, and I know Lennon plays like that, but he's on his way down a little bit, isn't he? You know, but I do think Delafoe and Morales have stunk it out badly. I mean, Delafoe's second half performance against Bournemouth was Ali Dia type. Mm. That's what I thought, it was that bad. Give him a nod.
It just has not yet lived up to his potential since coming to England.
To be fair to Koeman, he massaged his ego in pre-season, giving him every chance, didn't he, playing him up front and giving him starts, and I think he wanted to show him that he could play up front. Just, he looked okay in pre-season, nothing great, but he hasn't kicked on, has he, at all?
No. No, and I don't know what it's going to take, because before you know
it... I'm seeing my Barcelona maybe will happen.
Yeah, before you know it, he'll be 27.
I know, and we're talking about him like we're talking about James Vaughan.
He's been here for 5 years and he's hardly chipped in with anything.
I can't believe, by the way, James Vaughan is only 28 and playing for Bury. What happened there?
He's had a few clubs.
That's it all, then. Pace, power, should have had it all. Yeah, anyway.
So, if you remember Delafoe, remember that spell he went through with Lukaku, you know, where he just kept throwing the balls over those little bit of backlift and he was whipping them in, and Lukaku, I can't remember what season that was. It may have been Martinez's first season, but I can't remember him actually hitting a run of form since and getting any assists and goals. He's just massively underachieving at the moment.
That's Magnus' first season, the Christmas period when we were beating Stoke 4-0 and Delafoe came on and took the game. He was the star of that game. Was when he was in his pomp, I think. And then Morales sort of took it from there, didn't he, after Christmas when we won 7 on the spin. That was mainly Morales and stuff. Mm. But Delafoe just, he was someone who I could not believe we got. After watching him in the Spain under-17 tournament that you get on them JAG Eurosport channels when you're desperate for any kind of football, he looked at the absolute bomb playing for Spain in that tournament. And when we signed him that summer, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
How Barcelona would even let him go. He looked ready for to be joining Messi and the likes then. Mm. But you can, you know, Barcelona don't let real good players go. It's simple as that. He's obviously got a million and one flaws. And now we've got to iron them out, but it's going to take more than a Morphe Richards, I think.
It's just
I'm looking at your ironing pile. No, I'm only asking.
He is just underachieving, and he's, you know, flattered and to deceive. But him and Morales are the likes, they coast in and out of seasons and games, and it's frustrating as hell, because we know they're good players. But against Palace was no different, really. Delafoe didn't get a start, but I thought Morales,
he just looked disinterested, didn't he? Didn't make an impact. I don't think he'd done anything of note. He had maybe 25 minutes second half, was it? He came on a sub.
It's not like...
He didn't have any kind of impact.
It's not you bringing him on for a spark or anything. And as you say, against Bournemouth, it was just...
I didn't even know he was in the game. And surely a player like Kevin
You can
Ballas,
tell when they don't fancy you, can't you?
Yeah.
You can just tell when he's
like a player. I don't get it. Someone said it's stupid that a player has to get up for any game. That's his job.
Yeah.
That's like me and you saying, we only get up for a Friday and work. Because it's the weekend. You know, we have to do it every single day, whether we like it or not. So if you're paid 70 grand a week, we're at 170 grand a week nowadays.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're playing Wimbledon or Arsenal or whoever, you've got to do your job.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. You'd be up for certain games.
Yeah.
Every day's the same in work for me. It's a load of shite, but I have to get up nonetheless and go and try my best.
It must frustrate the likes out of the likes of your Jack Elkers and your Gareth Barry Zoo.
I think
the keeper level of consistency and professionalism throughout games, and they're not in the game to create and score goals, and there's a lot more pressure on attacking players. Well, there isn't a lot more pressure, but they're the ones in the more in the limelight.
I mean, massive hero, mine legends, but Duncan Ferguson was exactly the same.
Yeah.
When he didn't look arsed, and it was mainly when the likes of you know, Wimbledon and Coventry rolled into town, we'd end up getting turned over. He didn't look bothered.
Yeah.
You know, but big games. It's the way we love him as well. He did in the big games, I guess. But, yeah.
But Palace, it was definitely a game of two halves. Ben Teche scored a fantastic header, didn't he? And
again, nailed on a Liverpool player. Yeah. Ex Liverpool. Yeah.
It was a really good header, though. It was. He's in half place. Our defending could have been a lot better. Stekelenburg probably came in for a bit of criticism against Palace. First time he's maybe looked a bit iffy.
Yeah, it didn't look assured, did he? And some few little mistakes that added to the pressure that Palace were putting on us. And
with their movement and attack and threat.
They really were fluid, weren't they? You know, punching and
Townsend is a good player.
Townsend was excellent, yeah. I thought he was really good.
And Ben Teche is a smart addition. They've got Zaha there as well. They'll do all right, Palace, won't they? You know?
I think they'll surprise a lot of people.
They brought Johan Kabay off the bench, and I think that's a sign of they've got a bit of strength there.
See, in my head, I still play Crystal Palace, the name, when we used to smash them 4-0 in the early 90s and everyone used to beat them, but they're a really good team.
They've got some good players.
They deserve respect and you know, and a lot of praise, because as much as I hate that fella, he's done well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a tit, isn't he?
Turned it round a little bit, hasn't he? Because they had a bad start.
Well, the thing is with them, they'll go away disappointed with that, because they should have won it early, that Damian Delaney had it. Pretty much a replica of the Ben Teche scenario, wasn't it? And when it nestled, we thought, here we go, they're going to get all 3 points on the
ruled
road.
Ruled out,
and probably wrongly so.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was not much wrong with that goal, was there? I'm trying to remember, there was a lot of ale consumed that day. I did watch the game, I was still sitting in the upper glasses. But you're right, it was unfortunate for us that we got away with that classic Everton, couldn't just turn up and be dominant and win 3-0 and send everybody back to the
on a Friday night. But this is a draw's better than nothing, especially on the back of two defeats.
Yeah, it kind of levelled it out, and now we have to start again in the City. No better place really to kick. I mean, it's such a crap saying, because 9 times out of 10 you get turned over, but there is no better place to start than Man City away. If you win that game, you know.
Well, that's it.
Do you think City can be got at? I don't think they. Well, we know John Stones can be got.
He's
been got at plenty of times in an Everton shirt.
They're on the back of a defeat, aren't they?
Yeah.
Against Tottenham.
No, Aguero. Is Aguero still out?
He's in and out all the time.
Yeah, Ian Ashoff's a real player.
You don't know whether to put him in your fancy team, because he's in 1 week out the next, but I'm sure they've got Bayern Munich a few days after us, so hopefully Pep will do us a favour and he'll rest
eight, nine players.
You know, Silva, Aguero, De Bruyne, Sterling.
Pep,
just all the,
not that we're telling you how to do your job, mate, but I think you're going to need them for Bayern Munich.
Hopefully. But just finishing off on the Palace game, Mark, it was built a bit of a party central, wasn't it? Well, from what I read, it seemed like everyone was
really pretty much. I was never looking forward to a game so much.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a novelty going to Goodison on a Friday night. Usually when everyone has been a night game, you know, especially at the weekend, attached to the weekend, the Saturday evening game, they're notoriously decent atmosphere-wise. But I just noticed when I got in Goodison, I thought, it's flat, isn't it? And it was really flat, and I don't know whether that's because we were on the back of two defeats. I don't know. I thought with everyone with a few ales down, it felt like a Monday night game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
See, no, I link the Everton atmosphere to one in the mid 90s when I was season ticket holder, Big Duncan sticking it in past Liverpool and all that. It was like worldy and all that, right? But the atmosphere was always up, and we had such a bad team back then. You know what I mean? There was nothing to shout at. And there was that core of people in the Gladys Street, you got it going and stuff like that, but that core is gone now. I do think, you know, we talk about Lille, when we went to Lille, the designated carpenter, I think we're in desperate need for something like that. But that core of people who's got everything started, see, now the sad thing is at Everton, when you start singing or you join in with the singing, a lot of people turn around and look at you.
It's
as if it's 3 a.m. in the morning and they have work.
It's almost frowned upon, which is
ridiculous. Why are you sitting in the Gladys Street if you don't want to hear singing?
No.
Isn't it? That's like saying it goes to the cop and you don't like, you know, loud noises. It's not a silent scene. I'm trying to get it out that there's no atmosphere.
It's right though, Mark, and it's not a new thing, right? No. This isn't a new thing at Goodison, and I know the club, I think the club are reaching out to certain people to potentially, you know, gain a bit of feedback as to what could potentially change.
Yeah.
To help the atmosphere, because At the end of the day, there's not many Premier League grounds that can get 40,000 fans.
In such a close proximity to the pitch, we're not making the most of it.
We're not a West Ham, we're not a new stadium, we're a traditional British football ground, which we should be embracing that. Now, obviously, when Everton are doing better on the pitch, there is a lot more atmosphere generated, there's a lot more of a buzz around the place, but my mentality on Friday was, I'm coming in here, right, and I was buzzing. I thought, end of the week, had a few scoops, thought, well, let's go in here and let's fly at these and have a real go. You know, point to point, I wasn't too downbeat about that. I thought, I'll take that. I'd rather take that than that. Delaney had to be allowed and we're on the back of our third defeat on the road.
Absolutely.
So I tried to have a bit of perspective, but going in there, I just thought this has got the potential to turn into a really horrible Friday night. This.
Yeah, it has.
Just because... there's a lot of our fans who are losing their heads after 5-10 minutes screaming, and Ross Barkley's a name on the end of everyone's.
And I thought Ross Barkley done great first half.
But even before the game, like, we all have a laugh and joke and stuff on Twitter, but when the team sheet was announced, like, there was people having full on meltdowns about Tom Cleverley and Brian Oviedo starting, but they started for a reason. Apparently De La Foe got stuck on a motorway or something, didn't he? Or his car broke down, so otherwise he probably would have started in Tom Cleverley's place. But ironically, Oviedo goes on to be one of the standout performers, in my opinion. So,
but Cleverley's presence added to a very, if you ask me, a very dominant Everton performance in that first half. It was, you know, without being totally dominant, I thought we were imposing enough, absolutely, on Palace, you know.
We didn't do much wrong in the first half, put it that way.
No, I'm not a Tom Cleverley fan either, by the way, but it was horses for courses, and we seemed to do well first half.
See, I just thought, we go in there, and I'm not saying you've got to have a load of ale down, you need to have an atmosphere, but we go in there and everyone's upbeat on Friday night at Goodison. We don't have these. Let's be up for it in front of the cameras against Palace. We always have a decent game against them, but it just failed to get going. And I just think, once Zedcars dies down, then players must think, fucking hell, you know, they can have talk, these Evertonians, right? But once we're inside the ground, you just don't see it. And Crystal Palace, or here, it's like Crystal Palace fans are just one of a number who just were taking the mickey out of the lack of atmosphere. And I always think, like, Scousers are always loud, hardy in your face people, but, you know, up for a laugh and up for a sing song.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Goodison Park's majority is Scousers.
Yeah.
Unlike some. but it just goes the other way inside the ground. It's like these little cliques of people, it's like,
yeah,
honestly, panicking. Where I was sat, there was people panicking and screaming at players losing possession, or, you know, maybe not going full throttle in a tackle, Lukaku not winning the header. It was full on meltdowns. I know I get as frustrated as the next man, but there was you know, men standing up arguing in that second half, and I'm thinking, fucking get a grip, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do believe that there's a lot of frustrated Evertonians out there, and I'm one of them, and you're one of them. But yeah, we do need to channel it in a more of a together way.
No, you have to have a sense of perspective.
I don't even know the point I'm trying to make, but
no, I know what you're saying. It's like we're not happy unless we're dwelling in this fume, this angst. We need it. It's what's part of our bloody. It's what happens to a club when you go 21 years without winning a trophy.
Maybe so. And I've used the word, like, grieving after the Martinez here, and I do think that's maybe sent some of our fans' heads west. And they don't know what to think. They don't know what to expect.
Well, it's like,
on another day, we turn up there and we beat Palace 3-0.
Yeah.
And Goodison's booming. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and I think it's a bit naive for our fans to think that everything's just going to change overnight.
Totally, but with that thirsty for success that we're now seeing, you know, we had a real solid start to the season. With that desperate for success now, we're not keeping ourselves grounded when we do well, and I'm the worst for it, absolutely. You know, and it goes the other way when we're not playing well as well. But I think with that desperate to do well, that the first signs that we are doing well, we run amok, and then when it invariably falls down because we're not the finished article, then people get, there's no sense of balance there, there's no perspective, so it's either extreme high or extreme low, because we think, oh fuck, see, we're not going to do well. It's a panic because we haven't done anything for so long. We just want to see Everton be the old Everton that we all grew up and watched on you know, at our fathers and granddads that told us about. We're all desperate for that. That's my take on it.
See, I walked out and there was two lads, and one of them was going, shite, absolutely shite, Everton. And the other one was, like, kicking the cladding like with his frustration that he may be, you know, pissed or not, it doesn't matter. And I'm thinking, what? Are you watching the same match? Like, I do think that, I don't know whether it's an age thing, but I do think that, looking at the league position and how we've set our stall out for this season, I do believe we're in a good place, and I sound like a broken record saying it, but
I do
think there is a bit of perspective required. There's a lot of teams that I'd snap our hands off if we offered them our position where we are.
Yeah.
We've got some dough now. We've got potential for the King's Dock. Not the King's Dock, the new stadium. Where am I going with that? The new stadium. We've got a different way of recruiting with Steve Walsh. Koeman, he's well liked. You know, you've got to listen to fans of other clubs who really speak highly.
Again, gave another excellent interview with Carragher, I thought.
Exactly, and I think I agree with Evertonian. Say there's a lot of hard work to be done, which is why some of our fans need to realise that it'll take more than 4 or 5 months for this hall to change around.
Yeah.
And it might take more than 4 or 5 transfer windows for us to change the squad round and have an overhaul. And you've seen this season. Look at Leicester. Look at Tottenham. Look at Arsenal. It's the sort of same. It's not working out for Leicester as it did last season.
No.
Whereas it looks like the same old faces could be in and around the top four.
Yeah.
Look at United, though, they've had a wobble. I'm sure they lost 3 on the bounce, didn't they?
Or 2. Yeah, so offered 3 times.
It's all like momentums and fits and starts. We had our run of consistency and we've lost that now. But it's an hour we come back from there. And we need to go to City on Saturday with our heads held high.
Yeah.
Not all having a meltdown because we couldn't manage to beat Palace. And, you know,
you're right, though.
I'm not blaming our fans for results on a pitch, but on Friday I was more annoyed with our fans than I was ever.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say about it.
You expected when you go to one night game, you kind of get hopeful or delusional even that you're going to get Ferguson on fire type of night. Don't we all think that? Because I do when I go to Everton at night. It's like could be one of them nights, you know, where the house the roof lifts off and there is no better sight than. And go to sun under the lights. There really isn't. It's a beautiful place. But when things are, it really doesn't take long for that frustration to kick in. And for me, that's down to total and utter desire for Everton to really start doing things on the pitch.
Mm.
It's that's my frustration anyway. But what I want to say there quick is that in the past we've had this frustration, and no guarantee that it's going to change. Now we have to believe now that things aren't going to change. It is a slow process, but things are in place for things to change for us big time. So we have that's what's keeping me sane. Although if you read me tweets, I'm sure I'm not that sane. But you know that's what it is. Now there is a vision behind us. There is a drive behind it. So we really that should give us more patience than what we're showing right now.
Yeah. It's a transitional journey that.
Yeah.
Begun with Koeman's appointments, and since then the landmark moments, it was his appointment, the signs we've made, Walsh's appointment, talk of the stadium. Now, this season is a landmark in itself.
Yeah.
But the season's 9 months. You know, we're in
seven games.
We're in the first week in October, and I do really, you know, I can't see what will happen in the future. We could finish 10th. I really don't know, but I'm confident that there's a plan to make Everton in the top four, and who knows, even better in the coming years. But it will take time.
Yeah.
And I just believe that as much as I was annoyed we got beat against Norwich and, you know, we slipped a defeat at Bournemouth and we couldn't manage to beat Palace, all is not lost and far from it. And I do scratch my head when I see and hear some Evertonians' views. And I'm not saying by any stretch that I'm right in everything I say, but they did do me head in on that Friday and I couldn't wait to get out of there in the end.
You just wonder, the character of the place has changed over the years, absolutely, Evan. You know, it's just not as raucous, so there's not as many people up for singing as they used to be, you know, up in the upper Gladys where we sit. It's like you can hear the people trying to get it going in the Gladys. And then, you know, but really, for us to be doing anything, we need a really bad refereeing decision within 30 seconds for us to get going.
It's always the same with us.
Yeah. We need a really bad, it's almost worth doing. Send someone off after 10 seconds, 15 seconds. No, of course, that's stupid. But
because an angry Goodison...
The only thing that gets us going.
An angry Goodison can have a really positive effect.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember Blackburn at home, thing with down to 9 men. Dog had all kinds of keepers sent off. And BT scored me 1-1-0. One of the best, a totally random game. One of the best atmospheres I've ever been part of. Purely down to the fact that the referee sent to goalkeeper off?
Not, you know, not a silent Goodison, which everyone's tearing their hair out every five yeah. minutes because someone loses a ball or whatever. It's just, I do feel that.
But some even, people maybe even the just very need best teams, the ball gets miscontrolled.
I just believe that some of our supporters need to channel the frustrations a bit better than probably what they've done in the past few weeks with the results. But
yeah.
again, you know, supporters get excited, and as much as I'm speaking positively, I got carried away under Martinez's first season and probably stupidly. But it's hard not to, isn't it? But looking back on that, I probably would have thought, well, hang on, I'll judge him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I won't get too excited or too ahead of myself, but I probably did. And yeah. then it made the two seasons that followed even worse to take.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at the moment, I'm willing to just see how it pans out before I start flapping.
Same here, because I've flapped enough for everyone the last 2 years, and moaned enough, complained enough, trying to keep it level-headed. You know, you can be honest and say, I'm pissed off with that, I'm fine, but, you know, don't be tweeting the manager and stuff like that, it's just ridiculous. You know, where does that get you? You're just highlighting to everyone, need a band.
The thing is, he missed out on transfer targets as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which has frustrated everyone.
Which is obvious.
Because
that, yeah.
people would like, oh, we haven't spent as much as we thought we would, which is...
And I think he really wanted to, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm not buying that they didn't want to.
I'm sure a lot of work went into it, and we did sign a decent group of players, but we need more. Looking at that squad, we need more.
And a lot more up front.
You know, a third of that squad probably wouldn't be at the club if... Koeman had been in charge a few years back, you know, in terms of the time they were recruited. They've been brought in to maybe make up the numbers, and they're on big contracts, and for some reason, it's, you know, some of them may just stay because there's no interest in them.
And because they don't want to move, they want to stay on the money they're on.
Exactly. You know. Whereas that, again, is a transitional thing that Koeman will address in the years to come.
You can't do overnight.
Yeah, you know. You can't. And that's the thing with modern day football, everyone wants instant success, but I do have confidence in it.
Everyone does, but ultimately only a few teams win trophies. Only a few, really. Handpicked. Yeah. Top four and maybe the odd team out of the top six will win the League Cup and stuff like that. So only at the end of the day a few teams win a trophy. We have to believe that we've got that vision behind us now to make us one of them few teams that win the trophy. That's why we have to be cool now. You know, and it's hard because we desperately want us to do well. And we sit at that lot over there rubbing our noses in it. We are. So we just have to, unfortunately, our best weapon is patience. It's so shit to say, but that really is the case.
Yep. So there you go.
Best weapon is patience. Well, I need to stop knocking the around you, big dog.
It is tough because we've all waited so long, but you don't know what this season holds. None of us know. So let's just see how it pans out. And I'd still say the same if we lost against Man City. And drew with Burnley. I'd still have confidence that this can be a good season and we're going to have a good future under this manager.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. So
we'll see how the rest of the month pans out in the rest of the season.
You know, we'll beat City 3-0 and lose to Burnley.
No one Everton. No one Everton. But
absolutely.
We've covered most of the games there. Obviously, we've looked at the Palace game in a bit more detail, but. Without doing, you know, huge reviews of each. But yeah. We did ask the supporters, didn't we, for a review of the season so far, which it is what? Seven games, which is about 8 or 9 weeks into the season, are we?
I think so, yeah. This international football has made me feel like we played 20 games, but we've only played seven.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
You really need to do all the international football in the summer, you know, when 10 games back to back, like it's a knockout, lads. Who fancies it? Yeah. 10 days, 10 international games, get them all out suddenly, and then we can all have our season in peace. Because this, quite frankly, is ridiculous.
Well, we asked supporters to give the
three word review. Yeah.
We're going to read some out as we usually do, the tweet. So
we do. We've got Steady Eddie. That's just put room for improvement. I think we can all agree on that one. Kieran Sloan. It's put up and down. Yeah, again, that's no problem.
Yeah.
Toffee Nick has put great till September. Coma, it's just a Ghana gay. His form has dipped lately, hasn't he? It's almost a shock when he doesn't play 10 out of 10, isn't it? You know,
this first month, he was just unreal, wasn't he? He could have given Mar the match for everything. So,
but
he set the standard. You see, it's another one. The focus is on him. He needs to. to keep up for the rest of the season, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, Arben's put on Twitter, get in there slowly.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And then let's see a few more. We've had Casey, just whacked me out on your cupboard there. Casey's put, fans need patience. That's what we're trying to say, isn't it?
I agree with that, Casey.
You're not going to get many who sort of... It's such a... You know, it's not what fans want to hear, but it is the only way. Coldy 7 has put only 11 players.
True.
Said that about that. There's not much behind.
It's worrying. With Lukaku getting a bit of a knock for Belgium and Jagielka getting a bit of a knock for England and Ramiro Funes Mori talking about leaving. It's just like... Where are we going to be next summer in terms yeah. of or in terms of the transfer window in January? We're going to have to bolster, ideally. You know, obviously, Enner Valencia is not going to be a long-term option.
Aruna not Kone, now, it isn't.
Aruna Kone and Nias are just not the answer.
No.
Let's be honest. So Tom Cleverley's not going to have much of an impact this season, neither is Oviedo. So you're looking at... The ones who are disappointing is Morales, De La Fuente, Ross Barkley, and they're the ones who we're going to rely on.
They're the ones who we need.
And Lukaku, if he gets injured, we're yeah. goosed. Honestly, we're goosed if he gets injured.
Alan Price has also just said that the squad needs strengthening, and we all agree on that one, definitely. But like you say, behind
there'll never be Lukaku, a time when Everton's exactly squad... Is there. There'll never be a time when Everton's squad doesn't need strengthening.
No, there never will be, right. And I think that's the same for every squad, to be honest. Even yeah. the best squads will always look to improve. But I have to say, I was watching the reserves, who are doing excellent, by the way, really sort of feel good story about the club, aren't they, the usual.
Yeah.
And Niasse and Calvert-Lewin, the signing from Sheffield United, were up front
the striker.
Against Liverpool, yeah. And Calvert-Lewin, streets ahead of Niasse.
Is he? I've yeah.
never seen a player like Niasse. He scored, but the ball hit him rather than him hit it, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was more the quality of the ball in rather than the finish that got the goal. But, you know, I really wanted to sort of see him excel on that level, which you think he would. But nothing. Absolutely atrocious, really.
He'll get off in January, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a really bad... He's like... If Amakachi and Bakayoko as a kid together, I'm like, he took the worst parts of Amakachi, which was his control, and Bakayoko, which was just his all-round coke-headedness. And they've spawned all my ass, but yeah, no, it's like that. And I love Amakachi.
there's some good young players there, and as the season progresses, we did think we'd see a bit more of the old Tom Davises and the Keira yeah. Dahls and
it looked different
John,
class.
John Joe Kenny signed a new deal, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And maybe we will later on in the season see a bit more, but we may not have a choice because the squad's like that, you know
well,
what I mean?
That's after the Bournemouth game, I really said, rather than these Deadwood players, God, Log Cabin, we could build Log Cabins all around that wall, you know, Goodson Park, with the amount of Deadwood we got, was to get the youngsters to try ahead of these types of players, you know, just surely there's better coming through. We are absolutely owning it at youth level, aren't we, everywhere, you know, so it's like, why don't we give them a chance? There's Liam Walsh, who apparently is, you know, better than any of them. Mm. But yeah, they're not getting a look at him, I don't know.
But even against Norwich, there was not much there.
Well, looks at Calvert-Lewin, looks a real good player. He's got 2 goals for England in midweek as well, you know, which is going to help his confidence.
Do you remember the last game of the season, last season, when we saw Davis. Dal, Kenny played, didn't he?
Tom Alan Ball Davis on the day.
Who was the other lad whose name was deceived?
Callum Connolly came in, didn't he? Callum Connolly. Right back.
And all of these lads looked more than up for it. And then yeah. we sent Luke Garbutt out on loan. None of the others really went on loan, did they?
No, you've got Lundstrom, I think he's gone now, hasn't he?
He's gone, yeah. Yeah. Connor McAlaney's still there, he must be about 40.
He's due a testimonial, he hasn't played a game.
It's just... Is he going to make it? He must see something.
See, Conor McElhinney is older than Lukaku. We all know that. It's a famous stat. So he's clearly not going to make it at Everton, is he?
Well, why is he still there then?
Exactly.
What, it's like they can't get rid of him or something.
On somebody there.
His man must be a cleaner there or something.
Yeah, maybe like Forrest Gump. The man's like the, yeah. you know, got the head teacher around most nights.
Well, maybe he's got some inside information, so he's got a confidentiality agreement and he has to stay at the club. There's a few like that, I believe. But yeah, the youth side of it is good. The squad side for the first team isn't great.
First 11 is as good as it's been for a long time.
I'd agree with the comments there. But yeah. in terms of a review, there's people saying work in progress and, you know, yeah. wait till September. You can't really disagree with them, can you?
No, not at all.
Is there any others?
That's about it, mate. It's a slow response. I only asked about 10 minutes ago, but I think the general gist is we have to be patient.
Yeah, well, I've done a poll before, don't usually do them.
Yeah.
Over 700 people voted. Just basically said, season so far, what do you think?
Yeah.
And 31% said we were doing well, it was a positive start to the season.
Yeah.
66% said we're doing okay, but we must do better.
Superb.
And 3% said we're doing poorly. Oh, so
I feel like I'm on an episode of You Bet.
Yeah. So there you go, that's the results of the poll.
I wouldn't say poorly. 13 points from 7 games isn't poor. Whichever way we got the points. 13, you know.
I think it's 14 points, isn't it, man?
Is it? Yeah, apologies, yeah. It's 42. I mean, 2 points a game, the old saying was, used to win you the title.
There's still time, yeah.
We'll beat City. Listen, it's going to be fine.
Maybe Umar will start banging them in and the other 21s and he'll come back.
I've seen a headline, but I think I was bevied at the time. It said, I'll fire Koeman into the Champions League. Was that a Sky Sports kind of joke or a Sky Sports joke? Either way, it's not funny.
But... So there you go, that's the discussion over in terms of activity on the pitch.
Yeah.
As for our fan reviews, they give them, and there's a few other bits and bobs that we'll just cover before we look at Edgar City.
Yeah.
Gareth Barry, 600 games we've already mentioned, but still doing the business, isn't he?
Still, you know, absolutely. Being realistic, he's dropped off it a little bit the last game or two, but I'm not going to hold that against him. There's players he's sort of been bailing out a little bit, hasn't he? But I thought him and Garner had a really encouraging start to the season, didn't they? You know, but Barry, you can tell, is different class on the ball. You can tell he's the most skillful player. I would argue that he is the most skillful. I think he's got more skill to him than Delpho. He's just
looking as chiselled as ever.
Never, ever looks... hurried on the ball, never looked rushed, never looked panicky, never has always got time, which is, you know, the ultimate sign of a good player. And he's just a different class. Yeah, and I can't believe we're saying this after, you know, we hounded him so much. Martin's first second season, wasn't it? You know,
he had a nightmare though, didn't he? But it was like in the midst of a nightmare for everyone.
Yeah,
he was in the middle of the park and he looked 5 yards behind the pitch, didn't he?
It's almost like the players' attitudes and performances. But that does a null and void second and third seasons because that manager was that bad. You know, things had took a massive turn for the way straight after that we finished fifth. You know, it's almost like that, isn't it? You know,
it is, and he put it right probably in Martinez's third season. Barry, didn't he? And player of the season, I think he was. He's carried that on this season, but his 600 games is a unique achievement, really. There's only a handful of players, isn't there, that have done that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll go on to, you know, maybe play another few hundred as well. He's got no sign of...
There's no sign of him tiring. There's no sign of him... Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, as long as he's fit and he can perform at that level, why not? Yeah.
Seamus Coleman.
Yeah.
He's captain in his country now and he got his first goal in last week.
Made up for him. You want the classic sort of me to bring it down right to how I see it. It's not the same player that we had a few years ago. He's lost that edge, hasn't he, going forward a little bit.
Although the signs for Coleman and Baines have been positive this season, haven't
they? Yeah, but it's clear that to a degree age is catching up with them a little bit. I know Coleman's not old at all, but he was that vibrant and that innocent when he came running in on the ball and just beating players for fun down the right. You do expect it every time he gets hold of the ball. He doesn't do it so much now, does he? Cuts in a lot and, you know, whips it in early rather than try and beat the player. But he's been a good servant, hasn't he? He's been a really good player for Everton.
He's matured.
Yes.
Now he's the captain
of his country. You've got to be made up for him,
If you look at the Everton back line and think we've got Holland's number one goalkeeper now, he's number one, isn't he? Stekelenburg.
What a Coleman, shame that was.
Irish right back is captain of his country, Ashley Williams, captain of his country, Jagielka, we all know he's the captain of the club.
Yeah.
And Leighton Baines is just the captain of coolness.
captain of like the guitars.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Sunday morning.
So yeah, Seamus Coleman is doing really well for his country. What else do we need to discuss? Oh, I know. Enna Valencia.
I mean, you've either got to take your hat off to him or scream abuse at him. There's no middle ground here. I mean, as a dad myself, I think it's a lousy trick to be trying to get out of paying CSA, particularly when you're on that much money. You know, when he's obviously earning a fortune. But to fake an injury in a game, and he did it dramatically, to go in an ambulance.
Should sign up for that.
I mean, all I had visions of was sort of the OJ Simpson car chase, you know, CSA chasing him for missed payments and stuff like that. Tell you what, my dad wasn't that creative.
apparently, though, the story is he paid 30 grand or something maintenance, and she wants more now. Even though she spent that on a watch and a car, apparently. This is his comeback.
Yeah.
But the whole thing around it is just so funny.
Well, does Evertonians, John Merrow, I think, was saying, get rid of him and just get rid of that, and other people going, no. You know, it's not what he does off the pitch, it's what he does on it. But he's not really doing it on the pitch either, is he, to be fair? But
no, he hasn't.
What do you do? I mean, it's such a strange one. We are a proud football club. I mean, do we get rid of a player because he's missing payments on his kids?
They're not going to get rid of him. He'll come back, he'll be in the squad, won't he, for the City game if he's available.
It's a tricky one. It's a funny one. We should have made more jokes about it, but I really can't think on it.
That way, with the oxygen mask,
yeah,
and all that. I've never seen two busies run so slowly, like jogging down the side of the pitch. There was a fracas outside, apparently, wasn't it?
Wasn't it
outside the grounds with him? He's just.
But the breathing mask. Yeah. I like to think someone's run over and said, "What on earth's the problem?" And someone's gone, "Won't pay maintenance."
Yeah. Imagine that, though, you know, it's like Sunday League stuff, that, isn't it?
It's like that, getting carried off in a wheelbarrow. It's that type of thing.
The plods are waiting to arrest you, but, you know, you just go down in a heap.
That's not a bad trick. I think you'll see, like, smackheads all around Stanley Road and all that, mate. Coppers coming down, take an injury, get stretched off using, like, a scaffolding board or something that's laying around.
Somehow I think that's been tried before. But, yeah. Big Anna, we thought we'd mention you.
There's always one signing, right, that's famed for something off the pitch on it.
Niasse's been arrested.
I think he should be arrested for crimes against football, to be honest.
Niasse got arrested, didn't he, like, back earlier in the year, and for having beating up his wife or something.
That's right. I wish he'd show, I mean, it's disgusting, don't get me wrong, but if we're going to make light of it. He should show the same kind of anger on the pitch. He's the man of a player.
Yeah.
But no, I'm joking. That's, you know, I just think Roberto Martinez just decided to leave one in the toilet for us there and not flush it.
So you got him having murder with his bear. The other one's not paying maintenance, and Coney's just riding around on an elephant somewhere.
He's
according to his Instagram.
Still unbelieving.
He's always got some sort of robe on, hasn't he?
Yeah.
In some other country, you never see him.
It's almost like there's every time I see him on Instagram, it's like a Coming to America remake is in production. It's not quite happening. Yeah.
And yeah, he's got 2 goals for the season, Coney.
Sitting on 2 goals in the League Cup.
He'll sit on that all season as well.
Yeah. Not pretty.
In terms of other things, before we wrap up, Mark, Jagielka and Lukaku reportedly got injuries. Well, Jagielka has.
Yeah.
Lukaku, Pep man to have a knock.
Tends to shake them off. I don't know. Well, his toe. Was it his toe? I think so,
yeah. And it's worrying, though, isn't it?
It is, because they're two players who we really can't do without at the moment. Lukaku, you know, it's just scandalous that we've got zero cover behind him, and we haven't got any cover behind him, have we? Let's have it right. There's nothing behind him, so he can't afford to get injured. So whatever's happening with him, they'll be racing around the clock to get him fit.
Mm.
Definitely. He tends to bounce back from these little knocks pretty quickly, doesn't he? So hopefully he'll be alright.
Well, we've got City on Saturday,
yeah.
Before we go to Burnley, and then we've got West Ham. That should be... So you think that's another one, like, talking about the atmosphere. There's like this little bit of rivalry with West Ham. They're having a bad time.
That's we've got a them chance.
On Sunday, haven't we? And on at the end of the month,
yeah.
And you think everyone will be up for that, but you'll go and it'll just be like,
see, yeah, flat. The thought in your head is always grander than what actually happens in the stands.
Yeah, and everyone will be blaming because it's a Sunday and no one's up for it. Whereas
no.
Playing West Ham on a Sunday on a telly at the end of the month should be well up for it.
And it's a chance to sort of nail them a little bit, isn't it? After, you know, them looking down on us. Last season, and they were looking down on us, the fans, they were laughing at us and stuff like that, forgetting that their own history is nothing to boast about, you know, for a third place finish. After watching Leicester win the league last season, I'd be keeping quiet if that was my history, but, you know, yeah, it's a chance, isn't it? You know, there is a rivalry there, they do think they are better than us for some reason, God knows why, but it's a chance to nail them, it's a chance to say, you know, last year was a complete fluke, you're never going to finish it above us again.
Mm.
You know, it's that's what I hated about Martinez. You had real shite clubs owning it over us. You know, there was that time where 3 games left where West Brom leapfrogged us. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's embarrassing.
I mean, fair dues to West Brom, but you know, we should be aiming higher than that. But thankfully, we are now.
Well, we'll look ahead to Burnley next week, which will be a tough game. That, but the Man City game is going to really be tough, and
yeah.
Their winning streak has come to an end, or unbeaten streak, shall we say?
Yeah.
City, but they're still obviously a fantastic side with a fantastic coach, and they've got some really good players. So it'll be a tough test, but I do have confidence that Koeman will know to go and set his side out there. And you know, we won't go there just to shut up shop. We're not that type of side. We haven't been that type of side for years, but we'll go there. And as you said before, I do think the to be had City, and I think Tottenham have opened them up, and with the international break, hopefully a few of their international players, Silva and De Bruyne, are maybe feeling the pace, and then they've got one eye on Barca.
Let's hope. You know, you
just never know, do you?
They're kind of a blip, aren't they? So let's hope it continues against us, but we have to play at our very best. You know, really, sort of Tottenham first 45 minutes, I think that's the level that we need to be at to sort of compete with City there. You know, they've got fabulous players, haven't they, all over the pitch. De Bruyne, the star for me.
Mm.
Aguero as well, but De Bruyne is the one that really turns them into a good team, into a great team, if you ask me. We've got to watch him.
He's excellent, isn't he?
Yeah.
The statistics back that up. But Sterling is
having one to watch. Of his life, really, isn't
he? Re-emerged, hasn't he? Yeah, he's doing well. John Stones.
Yeah. He sort of slotted in effortlessly there, hasn't he? He's done well.
He has, but...
There's some mistakes there.
The size of his face just does my head in now, you know.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. I've nearly got bad things to say about him, but it's almost like he's become sort of wonder kid in his own eyes. I don't know.
You're right.
I've
it's
seen
almost
him interviewed
like
for England. And
he's too happy with himself.
Yeah.
And be happy, of course.
Like, overly giving interviews for City and videos. Yeah. And
never heard of people.
He's on his Instagram. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being a bit more paranoid about it, but when I see his face now, it does annoy me. I don't know why, but...
Only mother could love. No, you're right. He is a bit... You know, we're sounding like sour grapes. Good luck to him, I hope he does well. He's certainly got the talent, but he is looking a bit too pleased for himself.
Yeah, it's like the cat that's got the cream, which fair enough, you charge the Man City 50 million, you're going to look like that, but he is doing me head in. But if anyone knows how to play against John Stones, it's Everton FC, so...
And you'd hope Lukaku, who's probably faced him in training 101 times, you know.
Exactly, and I just hope that either Morales or Delofo actually turn up on Saturday and have some... A good breakfast.
Just remember dinner, what that payment that goes into their bank every week is
and,
for.
And are up for it, and then they can show against a big side.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with Delofo, with the Spain links with Guardiola.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
really have a go at them. And we showed like against them in the League Cup last season where we bossed it, remember, when Mo Bezic had a blind and we beat them 2-1.
Yeah,
we done really well then, and we can match anyone on our day, but we've just not seen it for three seasons. And
spot on.
For three years, sorry. And Saturday would be the perfect tonic to. Sorry, the perfect way to put these last three results behind us.
Because one positive result there, and everybody's on the bounce again. Everybody's thinking positive.
And then you're going to Burnley. You've got West Ham.
Yeah, every chance then that we can turn. You know, 1 point to our City into seven, and then everyone's forgetting about what happened, you know, against the Palace and against Bournemouth and all that. So that's what we need. Yeah. You know, let's face it, we'll all take 6 points out of nine now to beat Burnley and to beat West Ham, which is what we should be looking to do. And, you know, although Burnley are looking not too bad this season, are they? They're picking up the
opposite. Yeah, they're doing all right, yeah.
But it's like, you know, we should be looking to exert ourselves over them, definitely.
We should be, and that probably brings us nicely to an end, Marcus. But anything else you wanted to discuss?
No, I think the Irish girl who used to keep sending me the Family Guy things, keep them coming in because they're hysterical. I absolutely love her. She's funny. Yeah. I have to say that, mate. Honestly, got to give her a mention. She's making me laugh every morning when I wake up, so it's funny. I had to say that, mate.
It's soppy. We'll let you off with that one. But we're back next week, aren't we? We're going to come back and review the Man City game with the lads. The others are joining us, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So we're going to the James Window pub, aren't we? So
wow.
it's like a fan-focused excursion.
Yeah.
And we'll get in the Mystery Machine and head down it.
With the lads. And then after that, the Burnley game, isn't it? We'll have to try and fit one in around that. And the West Ham, it's a full-time job trying to do these, isn't it?
Mate, it is. If anybody fancies paying us for them, that's sad. Wouldn't that be great?
Being paid to chat shit.
To chat shit. Mate, there's plenty of people doing it. Why not us?
That will be our motto in the future.
Being Everton. Paid to chat shit.
The Everton Fan Focus podcast, being paid to chat shit. Unfortunately, hasn't happened yet. If anyone's got any rich sponsors that want to come on board... I'm very open on Twitter to opportunities.
We're absolute holes on Twitter now, Joe.
Yeah. Well, it's been good to catch up again, Mark.
And you are.
We've probably just digested a month's worth of Everton content within an hour.
And two beers.
And you've even got some tea to finish off there. So.
I have, mate, yeah. Starting now. It's nearly breakfast.
Hopefully you've enjoyed that, listening to us waffling on.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week.
Thanks very much.
See you again.
See you again.
Ta-ra.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.